El video.
Good to know. All right, we were in the middle of discussing the procedure when a get is delivered by a shliach to a couple of other items I wanted to touch upon, interesting scenarios and so forth. And then if we have time, we'll get into the question of reach a get, of what does it mean if a get is given when it's not absolutely necessary. So there's a pasuk in the Torah, Yishar Gusha Mishar Lo Yikachu, that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a woman who's a Gusha. So what if she didn't really need a get, but the woman received the get anyway? So does that prohibit her to a Kohen? Because there's a scent, a smell of a get, a reach a get. So is a reach a get sufficient to prohibit a woman to a Kohen? So we'll start with some of the remaining questions regarding shlichus. So one of the questions is whether a shofar can be a shliach. What's a possible issue? If a person writes the get, so and if he's a shliach is supposed to say, when he delivers the get, he's supposed to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, as we've been discussing. So how can a sofer say, if he's the agent, he was not only appointed by the husband to be the sofer to write the get, but also the shliach to deliver the get, how can he say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, I understand. The get was signed by two other witnesses in his presence, but b'fanei nechtam, he should say, ani kasavtiv. I wrote the get. So what is b'fanei nechtav? It was written in my presence. It wasn't exactly written in his presence. He wrote it himself. So the Ber Heitev quotes the Radbaz saying that if the sofer is the shliach, then instead of his saying b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav, he says b'fanei nechtam. The get was signed in my presence. B'ani kasavtiv. And I wrote the get, and that's not considered to be a departure from the lashon that the chachamim ordained of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam, because it means the same thing. Whether you say it was written in my presence or I wrote it, it's the same thing. But there's a concern. Maybe you're not supposed to be mishanim mapeh shetavu chachamim. The Gemara has such a lashon in the name of Rabbi Meir that you're not supposed to depart at all from the specific formulation that's given by the chachamim. So the Piskei Tshuva points out that if you read the Radbaz, the Radbaz actually says that l'chatchila, even a sofer is supposed to say b'fanei nechtav, because it's not incorrect. If he wrote it himself, it was also written in his presence, right? Because a person is always, by definition, in his own presence. So therefore, b'fanei nechtav is not incorrect, and it's therefore an appropriate formulation. He just wrote that in the event that the sofer didn't say b'fanei nechtav, and instead he said ani b'ani kasavti, if I wrote it, that would also be okay. Because when we speak about being a stickler for the exact lashon that the Chachamim used, that was in connection with being mekayim, the chasimus of the Edim, of authenticating and substantiating the chasimus of the Edim. So what we allow in this case, rather than having witnesses come along and authenticate their own signatures or the witness or the signatures of the other witnesses who may be signed on the get, we allow this special formulation by one person, namely the shliach, even though he's an eid echad, to say b'fanei nechtam, that it was signed in my presence, and that's good enough. So the b'fanei nechtam is very important. But the b'fanei nechtam, the words b'fanei nechtam, we only threw that in as an added statement for the shliach to make. So you shouldn't think that it's always okay for an agent to come along and say b'fanei nechtam, and that would be enough to authenticate the witnesses of other documents. No, it's only a get mishum iguna kilu bei rabbanan, because we don't want a woman to be an aguna, so we make the process of authentication easier, that it's only necessary to say b'fanei nechtam, but we don't want it to confuse it with other shtaros, that we shouldn't confuse it with the asilach lufei b'shar shtaros. So therefore, to make it clear that this is an exceptional case, we add on an additional statement that wouldn't typically be required for any shtar, namely the statement of b'fanei nechtav. It's also written in my presence. But since that's an extra statement, so it's okay if the formulation instead would be ani kasavtiv. So when I was at the Beis Din of America, whenever the sofer who would write the get would also serve as a shliach for the get, so he would say both. He would say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Then he would add, ani kasavtiv. And if you're wondering how it was written in my presence, it was written in my presence because I myself wrote the get. So that would be a little bit more, it would be a little bit more honest, so that there shouldn't be a false impression of Mexi Kashikra. If he says, b'fanei nechtav, it sounds like somebody else wrote it. So he would say, ani kasavtiv. I came here to the CRC. I discovered that the formulation was Befanei, if the sofa was also serving as the shliach, say Befanei Nechtam, it was signed in my presence, Vani Kasaptiv, like the Lashon is cited here by the Piskei Tshuva in the name of the Radbaz, that that's also okay. So I noted that when we send a get to a shliach sheni, if a get was written, let's say here in Chicago, and we're sending it to be delivered by a different shliach in California, so the shliach Rishon, if he's the sofer, he's going to appoint the shliach sheni in California, and that there's a formulation that's written in all the svarim that he says that he is this get was. He says, and then he says, and I am now appointing this other shliach in my stead to deliver the get. So he says, one second. The harsha, the official authorization document that gets sent to California says, and this shliach said in the presence of the bezdin, so if he doesn't say those exact words, so I would worry a little bit that the harsha, the authorization form, is not entirely accurate. So I said that I made a new rule that if the sofer is serving as the shliach and he's also appointing a second shliach, and we have this form that says that he declared b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam in front of the bezdin, so then he really has to say those exact words. He can say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam, then he can add afterwards b'fanei kasavtiv. It's interesting. There's a discussion at the end of the Piskei Tshuva, and I'll take Ira's question about whether it's really a good idea altogether to have a sofer serve as a shliach, whether it's appropriate. There are three opinions. One opinion is, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. A second opinion is, no, it's terrible. You can't even do it. But Malcolm Egon, even if there would be an aguna problem because you have nobody else, you can't do it. Then the third opinion is that if there's an aguna situation, you can use the sofer to be a shliach, but otherwise you shouldn't use the sofer. I think the general practice in most of what they did, at least here in America, is to be comfortable using the sofer as the shliach. So I have a little question whether he should say pafani neftab or anikasat kasapti, but to say both, but it's considered to be legitimate. And I think there's even a hider, there's even a benefit on some level to having the sofer serve as the shliach. Because you remember last time we mentioned the story of a case, which happens, you know, happened probably more than once, of a get that was written and the shliach kind of like was daydreaming or walked out of the room when the Edom started to sign, and then the shliach wasn't able to say b'fanei nechtam, and then there was a whole question as to whether you could rely on the fact that maybe there was a harsha, and therefore you don't need to say b'fanei nechtam, or that the same Edom that were present at the get were also present at the delivery of the get, also, you know, various reasons for leniency, not to say b'fanei nechtam, but the best thing is to avoid being in that situation altogether. So if the sofer is also the shliach, then there's a much better chance that the sofer is going to be around when the Edom start to sign the get. Why is that? Anika Zaptiv, he's the one writing the get. So when he's the one writing the get, he's definitely going to be there. He's not going to be wandering around in the hallway somewhere. He's going to be sitting right there at the table where the get was written. And as soon as he finishes writing the gets and the witnesses are then ready to sign the get, he's going to be standing right there. So there's actually a benefit on some level to having the sofer also serve as the shliach. Yes, Ira.
Two questions. First of all, is there any signatures, such as, for example, like a program like DocuSign or Dotloop, where you can have a verified signature that at this day and this time at this IP address, this person signed, and then be able to transmit the document electronically, or does it have to be the actual physical?
The get has to be written. And then the question is, if it goes on the Edoms, the Edom also are supposed to write. They're supposed to write, and even with ink and with proper calligraphy, it's supposed to be actually written and not chiseled. It has to be actually written. So that would, so and again, it has to actually be written.
Yeah. And then as far as serving it on a shaliach, is it kind of like a mailbox rule where I hear my name is my shaliach, any sofer employed by the Beit Din of Los Angeles, or is it I hear my name, you know,
there has to be some exclusivity, right? There has to be some exclusivity. So you can't say anybody in the world, because that's not, it's not good. You could say anybody who hears my voice. The Gemara has a case that mentioned the Mishnah, Misha Hushlach Babor. Somebody is inside of a pit and they're afraid they're never going to get out and they'll never be discovered and the wife's going to be an aguna. And they say, Kola Shamea Koli Yiftov Geda Ishti. Anybody who hears my voice, I'm appointing to write the get for my wife. So even though he's not appointing a specific individual to write the get, he says, anybody who hears my voice can sign the get. That's considered to be good enough. Anybody who hears my voice can serve as the shliach to deliver the get. Even if there isn't a specific individual identified, it's just an exclusive group. What's the exclusive group? Anybody who hears my voice, that would be good enough.
So if I were again, I name the Congress of Orthodox Rabbis of Toronto, that would be specific enough to conversely put on the COR.
If there is such a thing, right? Okay, COR. So COR. Okay, fine. So COR, I've heard of. So if you say, is that what it stands for? Okay, so you say, I appoint anybody who's a member, you know, of the Congress of Orthodox Rabbis of Toronto. Okay, that could work as well. But it would have to be one of them. One of them would have to do it.
That can be sent by FedEx or UPS.
It can be. In fact, there's even a lashon you find in the Kabnaki, which is the official manual for how to do Gittin. So one of the formulations that a shliach says when he appoints, or that the husband says, when the husband authorizes the shliach to deliver the get, says, I authorize you to deliver the get. I also authorize you to appoint another 100, you know, shluchim who can deliver the get after you. And even, it could even be sent through the mail. And that's good enough. When you send it through the mail, you have to identify simanim in the get very carefully. You have to say that they're the third and the fifth and the eighth line begin with this letter and they end with the following letter. And there's a little hole on top of this letter on the first line. You give different simanim. So when the bezdin on the other side, when the shliach on the other side receives the get, so he knows this is really the get that was meant to be sent to him. But it can be sent through the mail. The Aruch HaShulchan in source 3, because it's such a wonderful segue, and then I'll take your cover by Avinar. The Aruch HaShulchan says that he didn't approve of the practice that the Batei Din did of appointing, let's say that they were in Minsk, and they needed to send a get to Moscow or something. I don't know how far away one was from the other, but if they needed to send it to some other location. So there wasn't an expectation that the fellow in Minsk was who was appointed as the shliach there, was going to deliver the get in Moscow. It was understood that the fellow in Minsk was going to appoint another shliach in Moscow to deliver the get, and they would send the get in the mail. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that he thinks that the first appointment, the appointment of the first shliach, is defective, because when the first shliach is appointed, what does the husband say to the shliach? I'm giving you this get to deliver to my wife. By the way, you can also appoint another shliach to deliver it to my wife. But first and foremost, he's appointing the shliach to be a shliach lahalacha to deliver the get to his wife. But he knows for sure that this shliach's not going to deliver the get to his wife. The shliach's not going to travel, you know, to this other distance. The shliach's going to, let's say, you know, they're in Moscow and they want to deliver the get in London. So he's not going to get on a plane and fly to London in order to deliver the get to the wife. For sure, he's going to appoint another shliach. So Aruch HaShulchan says that the whole thing is like a chukah betlula. The whole thing is a big joke. And the appointment of the first shliach is by definition defective, and therefore it might not be valid altogether. So he says, rather than deliver the get to the, rather than give the get to the first shliach and have the first shliach send it to the second shliach, the first shliach can be appointed in his absence. The first shliach will be the shliach. Let's say the get was written in Moscow. The get is going to be delivered to London. So you just say, you're appointing the shliach who in London to deliver the get. Then the shliach will receive the get from London, and he'll have the harshos. The harshos will say that all the witnesses, the signatures of the witnesses, have been properly verified. They've been properly authenticated and so forth. He won't be able to say b'fanei nektar, but he won't need to, because the signatures of the witnesses will already have been authenticated properly. And he'll just say, shliach bezdin ani. I'm an official shliach of the bezdin, and you won't have a shliach rishon altogether, and nobody's going to say b'fanei nektar b'fanei nechtam. So the Aruch HaShulchan thought that this was a preferable practice, but it's not the practice that the Batei Din do. The Batei Din start with the shliach rishon. This way we can follow the Takanas Chazal, that we authenticate the signatures of the witnesses by the first witness, by the first shliach saying b'fanei nechtam in front of the first bezdin. And then that shliach appoints another shliach far away and sends it in the plane, or sends it in the train, or sends it by courier pigeon. However it gets sent, but it's going to then be transported to the shliach sheni. And I would further argue that nowadays you have much less of the concern that was expressed by the Aruch HaShulchan, because people travel all the time. Who says if you're in Chicago and you give a get to a shliach in Chicago and say, and the get is eventually going to be delivered to the wife in Los Angeles, who says that the shliach in Chicago doesn't have a chasen in Los Angeles the next day? It doesn't have a reason. The people travel all the time. And who says that the wife in Los Angeles isn't going to travel to Chicago and meet the shliach over here? So I don't think that even the argument of saying that it's known for sure that the first shliach is not going to deliver the get, I don't think that's true. Things happen. It's not necessarily the case that it's obvious that the first shliach is not going to deliver the get. Yes, everybody.
mentioned the term doar is what they put in the language. If they put doar there, traditionally doar is through the government, that has, you know, sometimes the government has a lot of force. Now that we use FedEx, which is a private company, is there any thought that, you know, it doesn't have the strength of the government? We need to specify?
It seriously could be taken even by a pigeon. As long as, you know, the guest can reach its destination and someone can examine the documents and see that the simanim check out and you have the authorization documents that have, you have the hershos there, that's good enough.
So the term door is kind of used like use Xerox.
I think so. I mean, in those days, they had the, you know, the door. They had the mail delivery service. But it doesn't matter whether it's UPS, whether it's FedEx. I think most of the gitta nowadays, they don't get sent through regular mail. They don't get sent through snail mail. You want a very reliable service, and you want the get also to come and arrive at its destination as quickly as possible. So they generally will be sent by FedEx, so they'll be sent by UPS. We once had like a waterlogged get that arrived in some foreign country because it was misdirected originally, and then it arrived like a couple of months late, so it didn't end up being more efficient. It wasn't FedEx; it was some other courier service. Thank God, the everything was still legible and it was still in one piece, and we were able to deliver the get. But it was
more reliable.
Right? Could be. You have to find the right pigeon. So the. So a separate question is, do you have to send both the first Harsha? The first Harsha says that the original Shliach was appointed, and then the second Harsha, the second authorization document, is the document that attests to the fact that the first agent stood up in front of the Bezin and appointed the second agent. So some of the posts can point out, we once received a get from Eretz Yisrael, where they didn't give us the first Harsha. Because once the first Shliach says, in front of the Bezin, so he's already finished the job. In terms of his believability, he has full credibility. And then all we need to see is that the first Shliach, who, you know, has credibility in front of the Bezdin, appointed the second Shliach. So we only need to see the second authorization document. So this Bezdin and Eretz Yisrael only sent us the second authorization document. If you look in the writings of Gedalia Felder, Gedalia Felder was the Av Bezdin in Toronto, and he presided over many, many Gitzin. He wrote a Sefer called Nachlas Tzvi, wrote many Sfar. But he wrote a Sefer Nachlas Tzvi about all the issues that arise in connection with Gittin and delivering Gittin and so forth. And he has letters in the back. And one of his letters, he said, somebody sent him a get for him to deliver as like a second agent, the Shliach Shedi. And they only sent him the Harsha Shnia, the second authorization document. And he said, Lo zu aderach. This is not what we do, that you're supposed to send the second authorization and the first authorization, the Harsha Rishon as well. He got upset that the that somehow this person was flouting protocol and not sending the Harsha Rishona. So we just got to get like that. So apparently the Rav Batitin, they will not send the first authorization document, only the second authorization document. Okay, the Chazon Ish, which is source 4, says that nowadays the Harsha is Likuba, that even if the Shliach says we're fine enough to find act, we need a Harsha, and he has some sort of an argument that you need the Harsha that because the Shliach is not believed on the on the shlichos nowadays because of the fact that he held that nowadays because the Harsha doesn't fully identify on the get doesn't identify the parties as fully as it used to. It doesn't give the place of their residence. It just says where they're standing at the time of the get. So there's less of an identification in the get itself, and therefore you need a Harsha. Okay, I don't think that opinion is necessarily foul, but that's another reason why the Harsha Rishon is important. So I promised at the end of last time that I would speak about the unique case of what happens if you have the husband appoint a shliach lahalacha, and the wife, instead of receiving the get herself, appoints a shliach lekabbalah. So I mentioned the shita of the Rif is that because the shliach lekabbalah is complicated, and there's no takana b'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam when it comes to a shliach lekabbalah, you need to, you know, to make sure the harsha is done properly and so forth. So our practice is that we do not appoint a shliach lekabbalah, that a woman receives the get herself. But in certain extreme or extraordinary situations, we will allow it. Like, for example, the woman is far away, and we're afraid that the husband who appointed an agent is the type of scoundrel who might try to nullify the get afterwards. So we have the woman appoint a shliach who will accept the get on her behalf, so that she'll be considered to be divorced immediately. And this way, the husband can no longer nullify the get. Or we had this situation of the Bach where he was afraid the husband was eating cholam mitim shayte. Sometimes he was of sound mind, sometimes not. And afraid by the time that the get would reach the wife, he wouldn't be of sound mind. And then the shliach wouldn't be technically able to serve as the agent of somebody who himself was incapable of delivering the get at that point in time. So forth. There are exceptional cases where we will allow a shliach of Kabbalah, but Melech Shechter, the father of Herschel Shechter, Shlita, so Melech Shechter Zatzal, wrote an essay in the back of the first volume that was published, the first sefer that was published by Rav Shechter. So he included an essay written by his father in the very back of the sefer. And he spoke about a situation where both the husband and the wife are in foreign countries. Neither of them are going to be able to come into the Beis Din. There's nobody in this foreign country who even knows how to deliver a get properly to the wife. And therefore, both the husband has to appoint an agent over the telephone. He has to appoint a sofer to write the get, an agent to deliver the get, the witnesses to sign the get, and the wife herself would have to appoint an agent to receive the get on her behalf. You need both a shliach laholach and a shliach lekabbalah. So there are situations where you need a shliach lekabbalah, and there's also a situation, a couple of situations discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Well, let's say the wife is, we don't know that she necessarily wants to receive a get, and we're afraid to ask her, because if she says no, then it's kind of difficult to say that we're going to have somebody receive the get on her behalf, because there's a principle in halacha of zochen the adam shlo b'fonav, that sometimes you can accept an object, like you can accept a gift for somebody, even though the person who's the real recipient doesn't know about it, because you can receive something for somebody else as like a favor for them, because it's a merit for them. It's considered to be meritorious in order to receive a gift on their behalf. And then when they find out about it, they say, oh, that's great, thank you so much. And the moment in which you receive the gift, it's considered like they acquire the gift at that point in time. So the poskim say, there are a couple of situations when it's such a clear merit, it's such a clear benefit, an unmitigated benefit for the wife to receive a get, that even if she didn't appoint a shliach lekabbalah, an agent to deliver it, to receive the get on her behalf, we can just receive it on her behalf anyway, because it's such a clear benefit for her. What would be the case, like, for example, where she already got remarried? She didn't think twice about the fact that there's a problem of committing adultery. She's already living with another man. So every single day that she's living with the other man, she's committing the terrible, horrible sin of adultery, a capital crime. So in order to save her from this capital crime in the future, so we have somebody accept the get on her behalf. That's an unmitigated, unquestionable benefit for her. So we can say, zach on the adam shlo b'fanav. Or for example, where she has apostatized, she's converted to another religion, and we can assume that she's not going to behave properly, you know, when she doesn't even care about her Judaism altogether. So these are a couple of scenarios where the halacha is that we'd be allowed to accept the get on behalf of the wife. So accepting the get on behalf of the wife is really just a form of shlichus, because zechiyah is mitam shlichus. I have somebody, even without her appointment, accept the get on her behalf, because we know it's such an unquestionable benefit for her. We can't reach her for whatever reason, or we're afraid that she's not going to be interested, but we still know that it's a benefit for her. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, better not to ask her. If you ask her and she says no, so then it's more difficult to say that it's clearly a benefit on her behalf. It might be anyway, if it's, without any question, there's a Rashba like that, such as Zuchus Gomer, but it's better not to ask her. You just do it, and then you tell her about it afterwards. There is a shita that we quoted last time that says I think the Rif, it says in such a case, she's not allowed to remarry on that basis until the get actually reaches her hands. But nonetheless, at least she would be saved from sin once the get is delivered into the hands of the shliach. But we still wouldn't allow her to into the who is accepting the get as a benefit for her. We still wouldn't halakhically allow her to remarry until such point in time that she would actually receive the get. So after we have somebody receive the get on her behalf, we then have the husband appoint either the same person or a different person to be a shliach lahalacha, to be the agent to deliver the get into her hands. And we hope that eventually she'll receive the get. I've had a couple of cases where the woman, originally we had somebody be zoche the get on her behalf because she was remarried or something like that. And eventually she came in to receive the get on her own as well from the Shliach Lahalakha who was subsequently appointed. Yes, sir.
Why not use the same logic to deal with recalcitrant husband?
You can't. You can't use the same logic because the main das when it comes to the delivery of the get is the husband. Like the wife, on a biblical level, a get can even be given against the will of her wife, against the will of the wife. We had a rabbinic enactment of Rabbeinu Gershom that says that just like a get has to be given voluntarily, so it has to be accepted voluntarily by the wife. But but her das is not the main das. It's not the main the cause for the effectiveness of the get. So the main das, the main frame of mind that somebody needs to have in order for the get to be effective has to come from the husband. So therefore, there is no such thing, as all the posts can really point out, there's no such thing. Some of them have a havamina to discuss, maybe, but it's ultimately rejected because of the fact that the Torah says, because of law, safe pieces, and us and be other, that I need the das, the husband affirmatively has to write the get, the husband affirmatively has to deliver the get into his wife's hands. So the husband has to make that affirmative appointment of an agent. We can't do it on behalf of the husband. We can't do it on behalf of the husband. Others give a different explanation, that there's a principle of zachen le'adam shelo b'fanam. You can accept something like a gift on behalf of somebody, but you can't give something on behalf of somebody. The husband's not the acceptor when it comes to the get. He's the giver. So you can't say zachen me'adam to take something away from somebody without their das. That you can't say. So different explanations are given. There was somebody, a Rabbi Antelman, who wrote a get called Liftos Mechake Get. Instead of Liftos Mechake Kes or Liftos Mechake Get. And his whole proposal was that we should have Sukhiya from the Baal, that we should have just Gittin that are appointed on behalf of the husband, even if the husband doesn't even know that the get is being written. So every single Posek says you can't do that. That's against the Pasek in the Torah. Because of the Sefik Pisas, Sunasam Biyadah, it doesn't work. You can't do things that way. Outside of Orthodox circles, I think that at one point in time, there was a website I discovered of like the conservative movement. They were describing how they do Gittin, and they said, oh, yeah, we rely on Sukhiya. We follow this. Like, if we can't reach the husband, he's not willing, so we just authorize the get on his behalf. So that shattered, like, the validity or the possible validity of all of their Gittin, because if they're relying upon that, so you don't even know when you look at a get that's they've written, that they commissioned. It could be a patur. It could say the husband gave the wife a get. And it might be completely false. It might mean that we decided that we're going to authorize the get to be written on behalf of the husband. The husband never gave the wife a get. So it's a big problem. It's a big problem. So you can't do that.
I don't mean to start an argument in the middle of the year. I understand it's a much bigger issue. But why is there not some sort of line between what the conservative Bate didn't do, which I agree, it's a slippery slope. They can just impose their will whenever they want to get away with knowing it, versus there's absolutely no halachic way, knowing we have this rationale in halacha that we do things for people's benefit even if they're not willing to do it. And I know that same lesson is used why you can kneecap a guy to give him a get. I get it. Because eventually he'll come, even if you...
Well, if the husband, if the husband authorizes the get... You can't always kneecap the guy to give a get, but in those situations, whatever the word kneecap a guy means, but in those situations where you might be able to apply a coercive pressure upon a fellow, so we spoke about that, the Rambam says, because those are situations where the halacha so unequivocally requires, according to the Chachamim, that a get be given, that we assume every single person wants to do according to the Chachamim, so we just have to beat the Yetzer Hara out of him so he remembers that, oh yeah, of course I want to do that, because what person wouldn't want to follow what the Chachamim say? But he has to say Rotsa Ani. At the end, he has to say that this is what I really want to do. But most cases, as we pointed out, don't fall into that category. There will be very few and far between the cases in which there really is a justification for beating up a fellow or putting coercive pressure for a get to be given. You need the das. This is a very, you know, fundamental premise of a valid get, that you need the das from the husband. But it is, you're correct that it is a whole big discussion in the post. Much ink has been poured over this discussion, but the result of all the ink that's been poured over this discussion is that there is a consensus amongst the poskim that you can't do this on behalf of the husband, only on behalf of the wife. So you don't need the same level of das. And also, she's a recipient. She's not the one giving it. Yeah.
In the case where we're concerned about the husband maybe not having seichel anymore, can't we just remove him immediately and rely on cheskas pari?
It depends. You can rely on a cheskas bari the same way that you can rely on a cheskas chai. Let's say a person commissioned to get and he wasn't so well, you could still assume that he's still alive. You know, shema meisa lo chayshinen, shema yamas chayshinen, shema meisa lo chayshinen. Here with the box case, we're talking about an itim cholim, itim shoyte. We know already the guy goes back and forth between being well and being and losing his mind. So it's not a question of maybe he will. Like it's almost a certainty that he will. We're going to see it in front of our eyes. We're going to see Mr. Hyde turn into Dr. Jekyll. You know, it just keeps on happening. So the question is, we'll finish with this for today. Can you do both? Can you have the man appoints the shliach l'holacha and the woman appoints the shliach l'kabbalah? So that was Rabbi Schechter's case. He said you could do it. It's a machlokas in the Gemara on Gittin, Daf Samach Gimel Beis. That's source number 5. Got really far here. Rabbi Chanina says that a woman can make a shliach to accept the get from her husband's shliach. Osa isha osa shliach the kabbalah gittin miyash shliach baila. So that's Rabbi Chanina. But Rav says any show is a shliach l'kabbalah get to me a shliach baila. Rav says it's not allowed. So the Gemara asks, what's Rav's reason? He gives two different reasons. One is that maybe it's a degradation of the husband. The husband feels it's like a disgrace to him that the wife wasn't prepared to come herself to receive the get from his agent, that she sent her own agent. So he never intended to be degraded in this fashion. He never intended to give the get under those circumstances. Therefore, it's not a validly given get, because it does not represent the intentions of the husband when he gave the get. He intended that it should be given directly to his wife from her agent and from his agent. And the second explanation is no, because chatzera baleacha mikan. It's a gezeira. It's a gezeira that if we allow this, then maybe we'll allow a case where the husband places the get in a courtyard that doesn't belong to his wife and says the courtyard should acquire the get on behalf of my wife, but it doesn't belong to her. And then afterwards, somebody gifts her or sells her the courtyard. So she says, oh, great, I was gifted the courtyard. There's a gift from my husband in this courtyard. I'm therefore divorced. No, it doesn't work that way. The courtyard has to belong to her at the time in which the husband places the get on it. So people will think, by the same token, the husband appointed a shliach l'holacha, an agent to deliver the get to his wife. And only afterwards, she appoints the shliach l'kabbalah. So people will say, who receives the get, it only happened afterwards. People will say, oh, this is like a courtyard that was only acquired by the wife afterwards. And therefore, just like this is okay, the other case will be okay as well. So do we paskin like Rabbi the Rav that it's not good? Or we paskin like Rabbi Chanina that it is good? So Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that we paskin like Rabbi Chanina, that it is okay. And then the Shulchan Aruch will say, yesh omim, then no, that it's not okay. So the Ramah says, the yesh omim, okay, so fine. So that's the question. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. So Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes in a tshuva of his in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Mem Dal, speaks about this situation. And he says, fundamentally, we paskin like Rabbi Chanina, that it really is okay. And that's how the Rambam paskins. And therefore, b'shas adchak, you can rely upon this. But some say that, okay, so b'shas adchak, we can rely on the husband appointing a shliach l'halacha to give the get to the wife shliach l'kabbalah. But you can also make it palatable, even according to the opinion of Rav, because what were the two objections, according to Rav, according to the Gemara, that led Rav to say it wouldn't be good? One is bizarre in a Baal, the Baal will be upset. And the other is that it's similar to a situation where the husband places a get in the wife's court, in a courtyard that belongs to somebody else, and it's only acquired by the wife afterwards. So too, if the husband appoints a shliach l'halacha, and the wife only appoints a shliach l'kabbalah afterwards. So therefore, for the second problem, you can resolve it by having the wife appoint the shliach l'kabbalah first. Then it's not chatzera baliyach amikam, because she appointed the shliach l'kabbalah before the shliach l'halacha, which is similar to her owning the chatzer before the husband places the get onto the chatzer. And number two, you ask the husband his permission when he appoints the shliach l'halacha. You just say, is it okay if the agent can give the get to the agent of the wife? So this comes up sometimes because we'll have a situation where you don't know if the wife is going to, you know, necessarily, it's going to be so easy for the wife to receive the get. So we'll have a formulation in our official, you know, appointment documents. Sometimes, let's say we have to do a kisru tenu, where the husband just, you know, is authorizing from a foreign country or something, and both he and his wife are very far from any bezdin, and he's authorizing that a get be written and signed and sent to his wife, that there be a shliach to deliver the get. So instead of the authorization form saying, and I authorize the shliach to deliver the get to my wife, so he says, and I authorize the shliach to deliver the get to my wife or her agent. Well, he says upfront, I'm comfortable if the shliach delivers the get to the agent of my wife. Now, the interesting situation comes up in a get zikoy situation where you have the husband, let's say, appoint an agent to deliver the get to his wife. And then it turns out that we expected that the wife would be willing to accept the get. And now it turns out that she's not so cooperative, but we know because we have testimony, we have, you know, good evidence that the wife is living with another man. She's living with another man, which is like being married. What is she? What does it mean to be married to another man? The marriage isn't chal anyway. She's living with another man. And she's living with a Jewish man, non-Jewish man, whoever she's living with another man, and she's living in sin. And so then you could have somebody receive the get on her behalf. But the husband in this particular case did not authorize, you know, the agent to deliver the get to the wife beforehand. So you can, I mean, to the wife's agent beforehand. So what do you do in this case? So Rav Moshe, you know, speaks about this type of situation and says you can go back to the husband and just ask him permission at this point in time. So what about the problem that we didn't appoint this individual to accept the get on her behalf before the husband had appointed his agent? What about the Chatzera Bali Achamikan? So Mendelssohn the Ravik, the Abesdin in Milwaukee, has a very interesting svara. I think he quotes some others. He says that if in the event that she already had committed whatever act is going to enable us to deliver the get to somebody to accept it on her behalf, because it'll be a zuchus. So at the moment in which she committed that act, that's when she effectively appointed somebody to accept the get on her behalf, because that's when she made it a zuchus for somebody to accept the get on her behalf. And if that preceded the time that the husband appointed the shliach lahalacha, so we resolve that problem as well. You can also say, and this is Rav Sendorovich's shita, chiddush. He says, if you look at Rashi on Sama Gimel Amud Beis, I don't have the Rashi in the Mara Mekomos. Rashi says that the reason why the case where the husband appoints the shliach lahalacha prior to the wife appointing the shliach lahalacha is similar to Chaseira Bal Le'achamikan is because of the fact that she is committing an action that occurs afterwards. And afterwards, she is appointing the shliach to accept the get on her behalf afterwards. So whenever you have a situation where she's not doing the appointment, so then we say that it doesn't resemble the type of situation where you would have like an acquisition of the courtyard after the shliach lahalacha had been appointed after the husband had placed the get in the wife's courtyard or something like that. So therefore, it doesn't really resemble that type of situation anymore. And therefore, even if there wasn't an appointment by the wife of the shliach lekabbalah before the shliach lahalacha, if there's never an appointment by the wife because we're just having somebody accept the get on her behalf, so then this entire chumrah, this entire din of rab of not having, you know, a shliach lahalacha give the get to a shliach lekabbalah doesn't apply altogether. So if you had a situation, and this was the situation Rav Sendorovich was talking about, where the zechus for the wife only commenced after the time that the husband appointed the shliach lahalacha. At the time that he appointed the shliach lahalacha, she wasn't living with another man. Then she moved in with another man after he appointed the shliach lahalacha. So you can't say that was a pre-existing condition that made it as if she had appointed the person who we are now making the shliach lekabbalah to be zochah again in her behalf prior to the appointment of shliach lahalacha. But nonetheless, as on Smurf Sendorovich, that you can argue that here, since she doesn't do anything, she's never going to appoint the shliach lekabbalah. We're just doing it on her behalf. So therefore, this wasn't the type of situation that Rav was worried about. So therefore, number one, the halakha is probably, as the Shulchan Aruch says, like Rabbi Chanina, that we don't have to worry about it. Even if the halakha is like Rav, and even if we're going to be machmir like Rav, you can be makel as long as the husband gives his permission. and the wife either appointed the Shidduch Kabbalah beforehand, or it's not a situation where she's appointed the Shidduch Kabbalah, but rather it's a situation where we're going to say Zach on the other Shalom Bavana and have somebody accept the get on her behalf because it's clearly an unmitigated benefit for her. Okay, Mias Hashem, next time we will talk about the Reach HaGet issue that I mentioned at the very beginning of the Chabura, just to whet your appetite. And then maybe we'll speak about prenuptial agreements. Does that sound interesting? In the last session of the year, I was thinking of maybe covering Mamzeris, but you know, then maybe we'll leave that for the following season. Okay, everyone have a good night.